Only 3 hours from the bustling city of Lawrence, Kansas, lie two towns with much less busy atmospheres. From just looking at the buildings from afar, most people wouldn't ask too many questions. To them, they're just another quiet Midwestern ghost town. However, when one looks down deeper, Trees, Kansas and Pitcher, Oklahoma have a much deeper, darker, intertwined secret and past that led to the unincorporating and abandoning of both towns. This episode of Ghosted in America will investigate what happened to Trees, Kansas and Pitcher, Oklahoma, both mining towns just miles apart. It will uncover what environmental disasters happened here, possible governmental mistakes, and what the future looks like for both towns. This is Ghosted in America, a tale of two toxic towns. Since their foundings, both of these towns, Pitcher, Oklahoma and Trees, Kansas, have been intertwined. Pitcher, Kansas was founded between the years of 1913 and 1914 when, as local legends say, the Pitcher-led company from Joplin, Missouri was delivering equipment to Oklahoma. During a break that they were having in the Pitcher area, they drilled into the ground and found a lead and zinc. From here on, the town was founded after the company started to buy mining leases. So this created Pitcher, Oklahoma, and according to the New York Times magazine, Trees comes into play because in about 1917, a Kansas land surveyor, quote, accidentally moved the state line 4 blocks south into Pitcher, end quote. So we're seeing that Pitcher is now split between the state lines. In doing this, they have to come up with a new name for the town so that it's not Pitcher, Kansas and Pitcher, Oklahoma. And so what they do is a wealthy resident, according to the New York Times magazine, a wealthy resident by the last name of Trees suggests that they call the town Trees, and that's what it's known as today. So I guess that worked. With this, the Tri-State Mining District was starting to expand, and in this we're seeing Pitcher, Trees, and a place called Cardin, Oklahoma be included in the Tri-State Mining District. In this district, they were mining for lead and zinc and ore. In this, they were very successful for a long amount of time. Pitcher, Oklahoma really hits its stride with this lead company because they start to increase their population and even get to peak population of almost 15,000 residents in 1926. And this is crazy. Pitcher before that was mostly private land areas from the Quapaw tribe. Both Pitcher, Trees, and Cardin, when they were all mining in the Tri-State District, they were producing a lot of money and a lot of lead and zinc and ore. So it's said that the Pitcher area produced over $20 billion worth of ore between 1917 and 1947. Which is a crazy amount of money for this time period. They also say that most of the lead and zinc used during World War I was extracted from the Pitcher District. So Pitcher is having a huge impact on not only the local economy, but the national economy. And not even just the economy, they are affecting how we are doing with the war. So it's really crazy to think that this small area was producing so much. Now, over time, mining starts to slow down. There's not as much of a need for it. It starts to drop in population as well. With 1960, there were only 2,553 residents, according to estimates from the time. It's crazy because from 1926 to 1960, there was a drop in about 12,000 to 13,000 residents. That's crazy. However, with that, mining wasn't as popular anymore and wasn't needed as much anymore for lead and zinc. And so the job declined, employment declined, people moving to the area to be employed declined. So by 1967, the mining ceased in Pitcher and Trees, and the water pumping from the mine ceased. And there's also a lot of chat rocks and remains from mining left to clean up. The Pitcher-led company, the Tri-State District, that mining company does nothing to clean up the environment, and not a lot of these past mining towns do. They just leave it up to the residents to do that, and to the residents of Pitcher, Oklahoma and Trees, Kansas, it wasn't an important thing to clean up what the mining operations had left. They didn't understand why it would be a huge problem. After all, it'd been around for so long, they would know if it was causing issues, right? Wrong. So we talked about contaminated water, but what we also need to see is that Pitcher in itself had 14,000 abandoned mine shafts, 70 million tons of mine tailings, and 36 million tons of mill sand and sludge. The town was surrounded hundreds of feet high into the air, these towers of chat rocks, lead in them, and it was a huge problem environmentally. People don't really see a problem with it in the community. They're swimming in the contaminated Tar Creek. They are sledding and riding their bikes down the Chat Rock Hills. There wasn't this huge problem. People just used it as a piece of their community in both Pitcher and Trace. And so in 1983, there was a little bit of surprise when nationally the area was designated as part of the Tar Creek Superfund site. So in 1983, the Superfund site for the Tar Creek area, including Pitcher and Trees, was designated a spot for the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, to have to look at. So the Superfund sites are designated this way as a part of the federal Superfund law, which is under the Comprehensive Environmental Response Act of 1980. And basically what this was supposed to do is investigate and clean up sites that have been contaminated with hazardous substances. Pitcher and Trace most definitely were. As we're seeing, there were contaminated water from all these abandoned mine shafts that were going through below the town, not only that, but then also then through Tar Creek. And then we're also seeing those chat rocks and the excess mill sand and sludge and mine tailings all contain traces of lead in them. This is a huge environmental issue. And so in 1983, they officially recognize it as a Superfund site. And supposedly, they're supposed to do something about it, right? Here's the thing. 1984 is when they first started the first operable unit. Nothing seemed to really be done. There's not a lot of records for governmental testing, whether it be health or just environmentally, from Pitcher and Trace in this time. However, the first thing that we see is 20 years later in 2004, when the state of Oklahoma, only Oklahoma, enacts the, quote, Oklahoma Plan for Tar Creek. However, in 2006, this plan kind of changed to be allocating a buyout and relocation program for the residents of Pitcher only, not Trace, because there were immediate health hazards to people still living in the area. This is so important because this is the first big thing where Trace and Pitcher are separating in what they're doing because of these strains nationally and statewide. Trace does have some studies done on it. In 2009, the EPA releases a report in Trace that's showing that 8.8% of children in Trace had elevated levels of lead in their blood. Within this, they also see that one child meets the threshold for lead poisoning. Trace is the only town, not Cardin, not Pitcher, only Trace is the one who's investigated. And this is after Oklahoma has already started that Oklahoma plan for Tar Creek. Trace, Kansas, is just in these beginning stages thinking, well, we don't know what the health problems are. So in 2009, we're going to do a test. So this is an EPA report that's sourced through the Kansas Department of Health and Environment. And something also very interesting to note at the time is they don't know what these health impacts are going to be long term. But so many articles from about 2009 to 2014 about trees talk about how these residents had so many connections to multiple sclerosis, thyroid disease, cancer, eczema, emphysema. But they never did any scientific reports, even though in 1984 they said that this is a time to investigate and clean up the areas. For 20 years, nothing happened for either of these places. In fact, no investigation seemed to really start until 2009 for Trace, Kansas, when they do that test and see that, well, if that child had died of lead poisoning, which luckily they did not, The government had waited too long to do anything. It's one of those things where it's like there were no investigations. And most people didn't really think about it because that was their life. But ending the mining was really ending the town. Because so quickly, the government declares it a Superfund site. But buyouts don't start and end in Pitcher until 2006. Most people moved out in 2009. But Treece residents don't get those buyout plans until about 2010 through 2012 when the town's unincorporated and are still waiting for some of their buyouts up to 2014. Here's the thing. This is my opinion based on the facts I've presented thus far. You can make your own opinions, but I think that there was evidence that the government knew that this was a hazardous area and they had ample time to figure out why and figure out a plan and investigate it. But instead, they wait 20 years and nationally don't do much. But eventually, Oklahoma starts plans for the area and then Kansas does. And a lot of the things at this time are saying, well, it's because there were different Superfund regions for Pitcher and Treece. However, they've set up the Tar Creek Superfund site specifically for that region. That at least now includes Oklahoma and Kansas. So to me, I just find it to be this really sketchy thing where I'm thinking the government had time to fix this and investigate and should honestly still be investigating long-term health risks, but they're not. So that's just my opinion on it, but let's move on to the buyouts. So, like I mentioned, these buyout plans start in about 2004 for Pitcher. It's said that these buyouts had to happen because the environmental hazards were found to be so much more severe than they were earlier thought to be. So, there's that from the government side. So, they decide to close Pitcher and relocate residents. And in 2006, they have started to get these buyouts. But a lot of people are really, like a lot of residents of Pitcher at this time are really holding on. There is an interesting YouTube channel from someone called Pitcher Boy, who was someone who was on the board for voting to stay or go in Pitcher. And he was really pushing to stay. And I think it's really the illustration of how some people were feeling at the time. This is my home. This is where I grew up. This is where I'm raising my kids. What's wrong with this place? Like, I've been here my whole life and I'm fine. It was kind of that thought process. But unfortunately, in May of 2008, Pitcher was struck by an EF4 tornado. 8 people died during this tornado and about 150 people were injured. Just in Pitcher, this tornado injured more people. There were many businesses and houses that were destroyed. And there wasn't a lot left. The tornado went like into Quapaw and Peoria and Interstate 44 into Missouri, but a lot of damage occurred in Pitcher and it was devastating for the community. After this tornado, there was a vote, which I talked about with the guy on the voting board. Residents voted 55-6. So 55 in favor to dissolve the school district. And so Pitcher closes its school, which for a lot of small towns is that like really big foundation for gathering people together. They decide to dissolve the school, which honestly seemed best because enrollment was already drastically down for the area. And there were a lot of issues with Pitcher. They were thinking sinkholes were going to happen. And after the tornado hit, there was not much left for people to stay, and some people who had been offered buyout plans that were too little to what they thought they deserved now no longer got those buyouts because their house didn't have any of that property anymore. The house was destroyed. So a lot of people from here started to leave, and from here we see people and Treece are really, to be honest, people and Treece are really pissed off. Treece was seen to be toxic with sinkholes, and New York Times Magazine article says that 1966, a 300-foot wide, 200-foot deep abyss swallowed up the road out on the edge of town. Somehow, no one died, end quote. That's crazy. In 2011, there was another sinkhole. Honestly, I visited for this podcast and I was so worried because there are, like, here's the thing. I am no sinkhole expert, but driving my car on their roads, I'm thinking there's going to be a sinkhole. I'm going to get swallowed up. But honestly, there's not much road left in Treese or Pitcher. But Treese has to wait a long time. In 2010 and 2012, they are just now starting to get their buyouts enough to leave. And a lot of people are honestly scared. A lot of people in Treese are so scared because Pitcher has received all of these buyouts and these opportunities and is being evacuated. Now, a lot of Treese residents were worried about Pitcher residents moving out because there were meth dealers that moved in and not so, like, they didn't like the idea of living next door to a town that was vacant that they thought just anyone could come into and terrorize them. You know, they were scared that looters and drug dealers and people making drugs were going to come in and terrorize their small town, and they wanted to get out and they didn't want to be like that, but they felt that they deserved to be a part of the buyout. Treese, Kansas residents get the okay for buyouts in about 2010, it seems. This is crazy because, again, we're thinking Pitcher had all of its stuff in order, ready. From 2004, they started it. 2006, they had that buyout plan started and ready, and we're out by this time. 2010, they're getting told that this buyout is a high priority and that they should be getting it soon. However, after residents of Pitcher have already left, this is why they are so scared, because they are seeing meth dealers move into the vacant houses for a short period of time. They are seeing people, random people in the town that used to be so lively with people they know. However, according to the Wichita Eagle, the Treese residents are cheering and so excited and happy in 2014 when the EPA and Congress finally approves the buyout plan for Treese. This is so long after Pitcher, Oklahoma residents have received theirs. In fact, most of them have already left. It does look like Treese was unincorporated in 2012, which is very interesting because it doesn't look like initial plans and buyouts began until June of 2010. And it doesn't look like all of them were able to get them until 2014. It's very interesting because they started the buyout so small with who they were going to give them to, and then it looks like it widened out to include almost all long-term residents. But what's interesting to me is, again, I feel like the government is inconsistent on what they're doing for Pitcher and Treese, who both have horrible contamination. They both have the water contamination. They both have the air contamination and pollution from the lead. And it's the EPA in 2009 who does the report on Treese children who finds that they have high lead levels in their body. So to me, it's just so interesting and crazy that Treese doesn't get the buyouts until much later, until Pitcher residents have already, for the most part, moved out. So what's so interesting about Pitcher and Treese is that it's not just because of the economy slowing because of no businesses in the area for people to work, but because of the government's insistence that people move out of these hazardous areas. Most of the residents have evacuated as of 2016 through 2018, respectively, for Pitcher and Treese. And as of 2021, it doesn't look like anyone is living there. I visited Treese myself this past week, and what has changed since the last time I've been there, which was 2018, is it seems like a lot more of the towns are blocked off. A lot more things are overgrown and look like they are returning back to the elements almost. And there is a lot of chat rock and mining waste that has been cleaned out. There's still so much left to go, but when you've got millions and billions of things to clean up, like, it's not surprising. And when you've got over 10,000 mining tunnels to close up, it is not surprising at all. Another big change that I saw is that the Quipaw tribe does seem to be, in fact, in charge of the area. And while this is surprising, it's not super surprising that they've got a Quapaw tribe marshal there, because in 2017 they were awarded, I believe, $3.5 million to continue cleaning up the Tar Creek Superfund site, and they were allocated to do so because, like I mentioned earlier, the Quapaw tribe did own most of the land before Pitcher, and it is a federally recognized tribe. What's interesting is the Quapaw tribe now has it back, but it was an 1897 court ruling that allowed the land to be leased for the purpose of mining, however, was curtailed because of lawsuits. So only about 1/6 of Quapaw landowners received the land leases, payments, and mined mineral royalties between the time that people were mining in Pitcher, which, again, I'd like to remind you, Pitcher was, like, most of the people leasing out this land were Quapaw tribe landowners and members, but most of them did not receive the money that they should have because of issues with the Oklahoma Organic Act. So what's really interesting is now they do have the town back and have high hopes to be able to clean up the area within a few decades. And I believe their chief said that they wanted to open a bottled water company in the area once it was all cleaned up. It does look like Oklahoma has shown that Pitcher is now part of federally recognized lands for the Quapaw tribe and marks it that way as you're driving past Pitcher. Trace is not, which is what I found interesting. Because originally Pitcher was fully Oklahoma and Trace was part of Pitcher. So it's interesting to me that not Trace and Pitcher are recognized it, at least when you're driving by. What I also found interesting was that the Quapaw tribe is put in charge of all of this when you would think the government could give them back their land while continuing cleanup efforts, and so it just became a really difficult situation. Pitcher became a town and a lot of the Quapaw tribe members were pushed out. And so I honestly would have said that the government should offer them money for the rent of the town over all the years and also probably clean up the area on their own. I don't know. For me, I'm thinking the government should be in charge of cleaning it up like they were supposed to. What's interesting to me is that it looks like the Quapaw tribe has done more with Pitcher and even Treese, despite not looking like they've got that they have Treese back or not. But they've done more work on it than it seems the federal government has done since they declared it a Superfund site. But looking to the future, can it be habitable again? What I will say is the federal government initially was going to clean up the area themselves and make it a wildlife preserve. This is what a lot of articles like the New York Times, Insider, Lawrence Journal World, all were saying at the time about Trace specifically and Pitcher. Then it comes out a couple years later that they're not sure that the land is suitable for any life. And now nobody's living there. There are a couple farms on the outskirts of town, but nothing super close to the mining fields. And so it's so interesting to me is that the government seems to have given up on it specifically and is now just using the Quapaw tribe to clean it up. And to me, again, this is where my opinion gets in there. To me, I'm thinking, did the government give back the land because they felt that it was the Quapaw tribe's land before Pitcher was founded and they deserve it back now? Or did they give it back because it's a ghost town and because it's an environmental hazard? Like, those things aside, like, they should have the town back anyways. It should have been part of their tribal nation. So it's a very interesting and controversial. I don't know. It's really sad. But that it had to take an environmental disaster for the Quapaw people to get their tribe, to get their land back. What I will say is, I don't know how long it will take, but I think in the distant future, Treese and Pitcher can be revived. I mean, Treese is tiny. Treese is only a few blocks wide. Most of it you can't reach because it's blocked off because it's old mining shafts. But Pitcher, if it wasn't so dilapidated and torn down and possibilities for sinkholes and so many mining tunnels? I would say yes, but there are so many that I think it would take more than 5 decades to clean it all up and clear it all up. And then you have to do testing to make sure that there are not going to be long-term lasting health effects just because of what's happened to the area. We don't know how it's affected vegetation. I think there's so many factors and so much investigating that still needs to be done by the government, and tracking not only what's happening with the land and people who are in the land all the time in trees and picture, but also for past residents. And I don't see that being done. It wasn't done from 1984 to 2004, and it doesn't seem like it's really being done now by the government. I think they're passing it off to the tribe because they don't want to do it. Not specifically because it's the tribe's, it should be the tribe's land and they should be able to do whatever they would like with it. I think it's because they don't want to get it done. Again, that's my opinion. But the facts here are is that the Quipaw tribe has it in. They have big plans for it. They have realistic expectations and goals for when it will be able to be inhabited again. But we will see. It's a lot of contamination to fix. And maybe if it was fixed in the 1980s when they first saw the hazard was a problem, it would be fine. Now, it's hard to say. So, here we are in 2021. Again, like I said, I visited Pitcher and Treese. And what's interesting is when you've been to a ghost town a few times in your life, I first went in 2008, right before there were any tornadoes. And right before, you know, people were moving out for sure, before it was even a ghost town. But I remember the mascot, which it's the gorillas. Then I went again in 2018. And in 2018, there was no school anymore that I could remember. The chat rocks were still high. There was no Quipaw tribe marshals. Very abandoned, but there was a field and the mascot was in front of that. Now in 2021, much of what you see, you pass right by on a highway road very quickly because it's a 65 mile per hour zone. You see flashes of old dilapidated buildings that are covered by trees. You see chat rocks in the distance, and then you see a pitcher garden memorial. I couldn't find the Treese memorial stone, which was there talking about the unincorporation of the city. I couldn't find that anywhere. Right, like, that's in your eye's vision when you're driving so fast. I also just saw that we're remembering Pitcher and Cardin, and they talk about the Quipaw tribe because it's now their area. And I just found it so interesting because it's a whole memorial site now, but now you can't go behind, like, the land that's behind that because, again, it's a mining site. And there's so much pollution that you can't go anywhere. There is about probably a couple blocks left in town, which are old houses that it now looks like the Quipaw tribe is using as a marshal center for ambulances and cops for their jurisdiction, which is great. Everything else is behind U.S. no trespassing signs, and you can't really find anything. I also would say is that when I visited, I felt a little bit weird about visiting again because, like I'm sure many past residents feel, it's not the same. Every time they demolish something or take something away, it's like a bit of your memory being taken away. And if you don't have a photo or a video of it, like, who's to say it really happened? And also, now it is a tribe's land, and so it's a little bit weird to go on it. So all in all, my experience going there was it does feel very almost post-apocalyptic. A lot of buildings are gone. The tribal marshal does look like centered, does look a little bit weird, and only because you are surrounded, like the area is surrounded by buildings that have keep out scrawled on them with spray paint. And then you're being towered around with chat rock all around you, which again is that rock contaminated by lead. And so it feels very eerie, like you're not supposed to be there. And what's interesting to me is that Pitcher and Treese used to be these huge centers of community life. Those rocks that now people are scared of and probably spiteful of because they made them leave where they love, used to be traditions of sledding down them. Tar Creek, which is said to run like the color of orange juice and is so polluted that it could give you chemical burns. People used to swim in them during hot summer days. Pitcher and Treese are very important to remember for the fact of they're mining towns, which a lot of ghost towns are. But what makes them different is the environmental impact that was ignored for so long by the government, or at least they didn't find solutions for at least 20 years, for the recognition of Indigenous people's lands. To me, this is such an interesting story because it sparks the debate of what should the government have done in this case? Obviously, it was their land. They weren't getting properly paid for the mining going on it. And then the land, the town kind of just took over their private land. So, again, it sparks that conversation of recognizing Indigenous people's property and what the government should have done to correct the situation. And lastly, it's also really interesting to me because of how recent of a ghost town Pitcher and Treese are. They really had their last residents leave within the past 5 years or so. And to me, it's like, I can't name another ghost town that has disappeared so recently. And so with that, I want to open up the conversation and dialogues to you guys. What do you think the government should have done? Do you agree with me that the government was in the wrong, that they have some things that they need to fix? Or do you think that they did the best they can and maybe there's just not a lot of record on it? Finally, what do you think they should have done about the Quipaw tribe's ownership over the land? Do you think that, I mean, they leased the mining property out to the companies. So the Quipaw tribe did do that, but they didn't get the money they deserved and they didn't get the land back right after. So what do you think? Do you think that the government should have stepped in sooner to give the land back to the tribe and give them some recompense? The mining, for what the mining company should have paid them. And just let me know about what you think about this segment of Ghosted in America. With that, remember, we're learning the histories of these towns so we don't repeat them and sparking conversation over what happened to these towns. Let me know what you think. I have an Instagram and Twitter by the same name, so just message me over at those and we can have a conversation. Thanks for listening to Ghosted in America, A Tale of Two Toxic Towns.